It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap and round four preview of the Zozo Championship. And joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter, who I just explained what a starter is. No, I don't think they call him a starter in Major League Baseball players. They call him an opener when you use your closer as in the first inning.
I played baseball through college, and you just explained what a starting pitcher is. That is not what actually happened. I am new to the concept of starting a closer, which is the way you explained it. It's brilliant. It's very strokes Gainsy.
It very much is. Not a lot of teams are willing to commit to this, but because it makes you look foolish if you bring in your closer in the first inning and he gives up two runs.
Yeah, for sure. It looks really bad if that happens. But I think it's pretty smart. I don't know. I think there's an interesting thing. Like, you know how people are always like, well, this guy's a reliever for a reason. Like, he's not good enough to be a starter. And you're like, I don't know. Like, the closers that I faced were sick. They were unbelievable. So. I don't know if I really buy that concept. I'm a fan of the opener, this new concept that I'm learning.
Yeah, we got to figure out what the official name of it is, but it's really cool. Also, golf. The Zozo Championship is going on in Sherwood over there in Thousand Oaks, California. And Kyle, we have a final group of heavyweight proportions in one corner, Justin Thomas. In another corner, John Rahm. And in a third corner, Lonto Griffin, which, you know, it's all right. It's a pretty good final group.
Yeah, good old Lonto is going to get a show tomorrow. I don't know if he's going to be able to keep up. It would be cool if he did. But, I mean, when you talk, you know, we always joke about me saying that JT is going to win 25 times in the 20s. But if you poll golf Twitter, people that cover golf, whoever, are you going to get an answer outside of these two guys for who wins the most tournaments in the 2020s, like in the next decade? Who's another reasonable answer? Bryson, I guess.
Morikawa, but no. I mean, I think it's very clearly these two. Maybe Bryson, yeah. but these two are like very much in their prime, prolific winners right now.
Yeah, and you know, Rahm, I kind of stumbled into mentioning him on Friday because I was going to give you Bubba, and I was just kind of reading down the list. And I was like, oh, Rahm looks interesting. And then he goes out. I thought he was going to shoot a 60, and he shoots 63. Look, like, this isn't that difficult to kind of look at. He didn't putt well the first two rounds, and he's a good putter. You know, he's not an elite putter, but he's a good putter. And it popped in round three, and he shoots 63. And that's just sort of how it goes. I think the thing, if I'm JT and Rahm, and I don't know if this will benefit them. Rahm talked about this after his round. You kind of got to go get it tomorrow because there's going to be guys shooting. I mean, just every number that, you know, 62, 63, 64, you can't shoot a 70 and win, I don't think. So, Rahm said that kind of simplifies things for him. And so that'll be fun. I think that's when both guys are at their best probably.
Yeah, Rahm 63 was the round of the day with Russell Henley. They both shot 63. He's going to start one shot back of Justin Thomas, but he was basically your biggest mover of the day, or at least anybody in the top, 10 of the leaderboard as it stands after three rounds. But the man they're chasing is Justin Thomas, who is going to have his 14th 54-hole lead since 2015. So this is from Justin Ray. The most 54-hole leads on the PGA Tour in that time frame. DJ has 15 of them. Sunday will be JT's 14th. Spieth at 13, which is kind of crazy because you know all of those 54 hole leads came in like 2 years. And then Jason Day. And then here's the real kicker, I think, for Justin Thomas, Kyle, is 8 of 13 in converting these 54 hole leads. We talked about it on Friday night. He's a closer. Like, he's an assassin.
Yeah, he's a big time closer. And you know, I think we sort of overdo the, oh, it's, you know, Paul Azinger does the, oh, it's what's on the inside. You know, okay. Well, give me his tee to green stuff. Like, I don't, you know, but I do think some of that does matter. Cause you get guys, and we talked about this with Xander, I guess, where they get around the lead and it's like touching a stove and you like back off of it. Like, yeah. And I don't, that's not necessarily a criticism of Xander because he's a really good player, but JT is not, that's not true of him. Like, he wants the lead and then he wants to lead by three and then he wants to lead by five. And he's not uncomfortable leading. Leading is an uncomfortable thing and he's not uncomfortable doing it. You know, he's kind of been, I was looking at some of his numbers and just watching, he has these lulls a little bit in the middle of his rounds. He didn't hit it that well over the last 2 days. He got saved by his putter a little bit. I think he's going to have to be better from tee to green, especially off the tee on Sunday to beat Rom, because he just hasn't been super sharp. And, you know, he's hitting balls off the cart path. He hits a tree on 16. He's kind of all over the place. And I just don't know if he's going to be able to do that 3 days in a row.
Alonzo Griffin, who will start two shots back of Justin Thomas, and he will play in the final group with the two big boys, has really yet to blink. I mean, it's looked like he was, producer Jacob had a great line before we went live. He said he's just holding it together with duct tape. You know, he bogeyed 18 two consecutive days in a row. But what I thought was the coolest thing in Lonto's round was the par 3 15th. This is the hole that, I mean, it's really the only hole that has any teeth. We've saw more balls, I think, in the penalty area on 15 on Saturday than we have all week. And instead of going up to the drop zone and hitting it from 85 yards, he went back all the way to 120 KP, which to me, after you just dump one in the drink, you got to have a lot of confidence to not just take it from the drop zone and go get a number that you think you're comfortable with, because kind of in the same way where it backfires if your opener gives up two runs, it backfires if you go back to 120 yards and you like hit another bad one. Like, that's a real high risk situation for me.
Yeah. So you're right about, I'm glad you brought up 15, because I think it was his most, the most interesting part of his round. I mean, I saw a ball bounce on JT, hit a ball into 18 that bounced. And I was like, oh, was that green like harder than just like receiving, like, it, you know, balls haven't been bouncing, I guess is my point. Yeah. And it's just super, it's so soft. So it's fun to see a hole that's a little bit difficult. I do wonder this, and give me your take on this. Sometimes, like, and again, I suck at golf and Lonto Griffin's really good, but sometimes after I hit a shot like that, I want another like full swing. Like, I don't want a halfway, and I get the numbers and I understand all that. Like, you're going to be better from 8 or 70 than you are 80 than you are 90 or whatever. But sometimes I don't want a half swing. I need another full swing to be able to put club on it. Is that a reason? Is that a real thing?
I think it is. I mean, I understand it in my game that I don't want to try to hit like a 75% shot or anything like that. I'd rather just hit a full swing. I also think, but this to me is much more mental, where it's like, oh my God, I just hit a bad one. I want to just get out of here as quickly as possible. And he took his time. He went back to 120. He's not using the built-in cover. You know, the built-in cover that you get when you go to the drop zone and then and Bones says, oh, this is a really awkward number. It's in between clubs for him. Like, that's built-in cover that if he doesn't hit a good one, he can kind of just say, it's a weird spot for me. Like, he took all of that out, took his time, went back to 120 and hit. I mean, he didn't hit a great shot, but he rolled it in and got out of there with a bogey.
Yeah, the four was huge. And then, you know, the other interesting thing for him is that, so they had, I think, 174 into 17, and JT hits a 9-iron, which to me seemed like not very much club. And then Griffin hits a wedge into 17. And so I wonder if the, like his, that seemed like a weird club for that distance for somebody like him. I wonder if that played into it at all either. It, regardless, the four on 15 was massive. And I don't know, what's the path for him? Like, what's the scenario in which he wins this tournament?
Oh man. I mean, he's generally a very good iron player, and he has been at least over the course of the last couple of weeks. He had a great finish last week by being a top player in strokes gained approach, but then he also gained like six strokes putting on the week. And that's the formula for him to finish in a top five. I think it's kind of something similar. He's going to have to be really good with his irons. He's going to have to avoid, there was a couple situations coming in on Saturday where, he missed the fairway and he was kind of blocked out by a couple of trees. Like that can't happen. He's going to have to be perfect. He's going to have to roll in a lot of putts because as you mentioned earlier, there's a bunch of birdies out there. He's already two shots behind guys who are like prolific, you know, JT's a prolific closer. I think it's a very, very narrow path for him to actually find victory.
Yeah. I think it just feels like, so it feels like one of three things is going to happen. JT's going to shoot a 65 and win. Rahm's going to shoot. Rahm's. Yeah. Yeah. Here we go again. Rahm's going to shoot a 65 and win, or somebody behind all three of those guys is going to shoot a 61 and win.
Right.
Like that to me is like a, and we can talk about this in a second, like a Scottie Scheffler who hadn't putted at all and is hitting the hell out of it. Russell Henley hadn't putted at all. Is hitting the crap out of it. Maybe somebody a little further back shoots. I just don't, is Lonto Griffin going to shoot a 62 in front of JT and Rahm and win the golf tournament? I don't know. That seems pretty improbable.
Would you be surprised if I told you that I for certain knew this Lonto Griffin thing was coming this week?
I would have been shocked.
So we have this fun little flow chart that we play with, for like,
oh, I saw purposes. This.
Yeah.
I saw this.
Yeah. So when he's under 7,000, he's phenomenal. When he's over 7,000, he's terrible. And actually Adi Joseph from CBS Sports said, what happens if they price him $7,000 exactly? And I said, oh, that'll never happen. It'll be a glitch in the matrix. Don't worry about it. He was exactly $7,000 this week. So the glitch has occurred. I knew this was coming for sure. For sure. Now he's going to go out and win the thing.
Is that what I wonder what date his Houston win last year was. Was it around? It was around this time.
It has to be coming up. Yeah. So let's talk about who can actually try to run this thing down. Now you mentioned, I think I love your scenarios, right? One of the big boys just shoots a 65 and wins it, or someone comes from very far back. I also think you mentioned the guy who, it's Scottie Scheffler, who I think is the most likely to be one of those guys that comes out and steals this thing, right? I mean, he's losing nearly 2.5 strokes putting over the course of the first three rounds, and he leads the field in strokes gained tee to green.
Yeah, he's been really good. I think the other guy for me is Cantlay. We've seen him do that at Shriners before where he went out. I think he did it at Shriners where he shot like 62 in the final round to win.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of Smiley. Didn't Smiley shoot like a 61 year to win Shriners?
Wow. I don't know. I'd have to go check that.
Do you remember who Smiley Kaufman is?
I do. Yeah. I remember, what was it? SB2K. Was it 16? When the boys were all doing the spring break stuff.
Honestly, like one of the great trivia questions of all time is going to be who did Spieth play with in the final round of the 2016 Masters when he made an 8 on 12.
Yeah. That would be,
or 7, whatever he made. Smiley Kaufman who shot 81.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Anyway, Cantlay or Scheffler for me.
Cantlay is 12-1. Scheffler is 33-1.
Oh, give me Scheffler at 33. That's
mama.
He shot 59 like 2 months ago.
Yeah, and like this is outside of like the 2 weeks that he just returned from testing positive for COVID. He's been absolutely lights out for like those last 2 months.
Yeah. He's been really, really good. Any page you look at on Data Golf is going to have Scottie Scheffler's name near the top of it. And, you know, I was looking at his putting. He's not a great putter, but he's not a negative putter. He's a positive strokes gained guy with his putter. And he hasn't been anywhere near that this week. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think that it could pop up on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's either, I like that, JT Rahm or the guy coming from behind is probably Scottie Scheffler. The good news is, whatever happens, we'll be here to talk about it, break it all down. If you'd like to follow Kyle Porter on Twitter, which I recommend, you can follow him at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.